open our service in prayer. Precious God, we indeed come before you this evening or this morning, pleading on earth the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and through that name, Lord God, which you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we realize, Lord, there's only one way to God, and that is through your Son, whom you have given us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that the gulf was bridged when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, with his arms outstretched, he reconciled sinful man back to a holy God. Lord, we're glad this morning that when you receive us, you give us a change of raiment. You dress us appropriately in garments of righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that the righteousness we have received and obtained are not righteousness of our own works, but the righteousness of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, by faith, this righteousness has been imputed unto us. We pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, that as we gathered here, that you will receive glory, honor, and praise, that each heart will pour out thanksgiving and praise to your mighty and holy name. Lord, that we'll be glad to be here to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to uplift your name. And Lord, just to remember of all the wonderful things you've done for us. Lord, we also say this morning we are looking forward to the wonderful things that you're going to do and the wonderful things even that you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bring before you this morning, Lord, two sisters, Lord, this morning, our sister Jenny, Lord, we pray that indeed, Lord, that her results will be positive and that it will be good news. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will indeed touch her and bless her, take away all sickness from her. Lord, what a tremendous testimony she has already. We just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll continue, Lord, to minister for your own glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, even for Brother Jackie at this time also, that you'll minister unto him, Lord Jesus Christ, and give them courage and strength and joy of the Lord. May be their strength in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. We ask you also for Sister Eileen Jones that's here today with us. We pray, Lord, that for she rates results as well. We pray, Lord, that the news will be good in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch her and restore everything back to her, Lord, that the enemy's taken from her in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, restore full health in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, for everyone else, Lord, that's here, that has an issue, Lord, in their body. Lord, for we know that the devil is a busybody. He goes about, Lord, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lord, he makes targets on everybody, Lord. We just pray, Lord, if there's any being afflicted this morning, that they'll turn their eyes to you and call upon your name for deliverance. For, Lord, you are strong to deliver. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll touch the body of every feeble person that's here in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even if there's no one feeble here, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll increase strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we need more of you. Let not any man say that he has enough of you or that he's totally satisfied, but he wants more and more of you every day, Lord. When we wake up, Lord, may we say, Lord, we want more of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to be more like you. Lord, we want to sound like you, Lord. We want to talk like you, Lord. We want to behave like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, change us from day to day, from within and without, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be like Jesus, as the hymn writer said, on earth I long to be like him. Help us to reflect your image, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to become more and more like you, and less like self. Lord, even us, the mighty prophet John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, may it be the prayer of each and every one of our lives to decrease, that Jesus Christ may have increase and have the preeminence in our lives. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord, we lift up your precious name this morning, for it is worthy to be praised. And we thank you, Lord, that the devil hates it. And Lord, we're glad that it's a sword that's, oh, it's a deeply cutting sword to the devil this morning. And we lift up the name of Jesus, and we wave the name of Jesus Christ over this congregation this morning, and over everyone that will be tuned in. We wave the name of Jesus Christ, for there's healing in that name, there's deliverance and salvation, and there's hope, glory, and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we pray now, Lord, that you'll receive unto yourself glory, honor, and praise. Bless our brother Mark as he comes and speaks this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'll even bless each one in their cares this morning as we sing and worship in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's any who has a financial need this morning, Lord, take care of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord God, to be with each and every one of us in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even us, our brother, preaches from your word this morning. Minister to our hearts in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Number 700. On 77 in the Redemption Hymn Book, 777, we'll sing that hymn. And then maybe just sing a chorus before I hand over to our brother Mark. Let us sing of His love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise Him again in that day. 777, please feel free to join along in your chorus and sing and praise the Lord.
Let us sing of His love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain. Till we praise Him again.
Go!
over to our brother Martha. Lord bless.
Welcome you all into this service this morning. And if you have your Bible with you, you'd like to turn to John chapter 6. And I'll take a reading from verse 53. We'll start. This is Jesus speaking to a crowd of people, and actually his own disciples, some of his own disciples here. And it's quite a lengthy reading. We're going to read down to verse 69. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with them. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Maybe we'll just have a quick word of prayer once more before we start. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again that we can gather here together. And though we're not in a building, but we're still met in the most important place, thus in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you just help me this day. I pray that your word would be a blessing to your people, and that you'd really speak to somebody from this, Lord. Not that I'm anything, but your word's everything, Lord Jesus. Lord, just have thy way for the remainder of this service, for it's in and through your precious name, I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. One of our... I thought this morning, I was thinking, you know, when Tommy asked me to give a word this morning, I was thinking, you know, what will I preach on this morning? And I just happened to meet a guy on one of the runs I was doing, and he came out to the door and he says, I'm looking for my glasses. And I got talking to him, and you know, we were saying, it's amazing what things you depend on. And you don't really realise how much you depend on it until you don't have it. And I was thinking from that, you know, isn't that something, what are we depending on this morning? And people depend on a lot of things. Myself, you could say, in a way, I depend on these glasses myself. You know, they're maybe not essential, but you know, you depend on them when you get used to them. And that mom was depending on them. Other people maybe depend on something else. You know, we have all things in this world that we depend on. But here, in this word, if you look at verse 68, when Jesus answered Simon Peter, or Peter as we know him more commonly, says, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So there this morning, if there's anything you're going to depend on this morning, the only real thing that you can depend on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has the words of eternal life. Nothing more in this world, there's nothing that you can really depend on, because you know, I would fail you Your brother would fail you. Your father, your mother, your friends will fail you. Maybe they don't mean to fail you, but you know, we each of us have failed somebody in our lifetime. Maybe not through trying to fail them, but just, you know, things happen. But Christ will never fail you. You know, because if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an eternal salvation. You know, that's the difference this morning. We have a salvation this morning that is real. People have something that they depend on. Maybe some religions depend on good works, and that how many good works they do might get them to some sort of a place of, like a, you know, maybe a kind of a heaven. But and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, we have many examples in the Bible about people on things where they have depended. And you can go to the Old Testament, and our brother Noah in Genesis chapter 6. And here was Noah, and you know, when you read about Noah and the day of the days, you know, we're getting very, very close to them days. I'd say we're nearly there. But in Noah's days, it says God repented that he'd even made man because of the wickedness of that day. And in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the heart, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." It's not something like today. If you take a stand for the Lord today, you know, you're nearly ridiculed. You know, there's something wrong with you. The favourite saying now is that you're a dinosaur. But you're not. You know, what are you this morning? I tell you what you are. You're not a dinosaur. You're a child of the King this morning. Your father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver and all the gold's his this morning. You know, but here's this people on our earth was so evil. And it says every imagination of their thoughts, of their heart, was only evil continually. In verse 6, and it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Imagine the wickedness was so great that the Lord was grieved. God was grieved that he'd even made it. We do some things sometimes and it grieves us. But God, imagine the wickedness when God was grieved that he'd even made man. In this whole world and the beauty around it, you take a look around you this morning, and when the sun's shining, and this time of year, and the birds are singing, it's such a beautiful world. And you know, back then, even maybe, you know, maybe it was even nicer. You know, we know that from the Bible that said it had never rained before. A dew had come up every morning and watered the earth. Can you imagine it was near like a paradise in the natural? But man, out of the corruptness of man's heart and imagination, God was grieved that he even made man. But you know something? It says in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." It's not something that a man, in all that he still found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, this morning, we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do I know that this morning? Because at one time in my life, and in one time in your life, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, moved upon you, and it convicted you of your sin, and in your heart you knew that you needed to be saved. And that's a work of grace. That's the work of grace of the Holy Spirit, that you knew you must be saved. And then you called upon the Lord, and you asked him into your heart as your own personal Saviour, and you were saved, and you're changed from death. You passed from death unto life. So we, in a way, we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah here. And you know what, God, what did he do? He gave Noah, in verse 14, he says, "Make thee an ark." And he gave him the plans of an ark. And you know what Noah did? He didn't sit down and say to the wife or to the children, "You know, the Lord has told me something, but I don't think he's right." How could that happen? He didn't start to doubt and start to maybe to have an intellectual argument about it. He maybe didn't say, "Well, like I think the Lord's telling me something, but I don't feel that would be right. Or how could it be right?" And he's talking about a flood upon the earth, but sure we know. Like, how would there be a flood upon the earth? But God, you know, when he told him, "Build thee an ark," what did Noah do? He depended on the Lord's word. He depended on him. He didn't depend on the scientists around him that says, "Listen, Noah, You're talking about rain. It's never rained. How would it even rain? Show us the signs. Show us the signs how it would rain. Sure, for 1,000 years now this world has went on and we've never seen a drop of rain. And like what you're talking about water falling out of the sky. And then the flood's going to be upon this earth. And the only way to escape it's a boat. And who's going to make this boat? Are you going to make the boat? Sure, you know nothing about making a boat. It'll probably sink. But you know, Noah depended on the Lord. He didn't take all them arguments. I'm sure he had plenty of boys coming up and making fun of him. But he knew what he'd done. He started. He probably went out and he says, well, God said you'll make it out of gopher wood. What would he do? The first thing he'd do, he'd go and he'd start looking for a gopher wood tree. And when he seen it, he'd probably say, right, I want that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree. And then he starts the hard work. It wasn't easy work. You imagine starting to cut out all that timber, and then put it into planks, and then to heave that about and move all them things. It wasn't easy work. But he was dependent on the Lord. He was dependent that what God told him would come to pass, and what God's word was truth. You know, that's the difference. When you believe on the Lord, and you believe his word, some people can't believe his word. You know, people have their own ideas, and the famous one today is, well, that's your interpretation of the Bible. Imagine Noah, when the Lord said to him, build thee an ark. Imagine he had said, well, that's one interpretation of the Bible, but I think an ark, maybe an ark, you know, maybe that's, well, he's saying this, but my interpretation of an ark is this. It wouldn't have worked. When the flood had come, he'd have perished like everybody else upon the face of the earth. But he took God at his word, and he made an ark. And in verse 17 it says, the Lord spoke and he says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. You know, it's not something this morning where everything that has breath will die. Everything. Then we birds that weren't on the ark will die. The rabbit in the field would die. Everything will die that has breath upon it in its lungs. Everything was going to die. The only thing that was going to be saved was what was on that ark. And you know what happened? We know the story, how the flood came, how God told Noah when the ark was ready to go into that ark. And he went in, his wife, his three sons and their wives, and they went in. And all them animals that God caused in them to go to that ark, and they went in. and they went, and God closed the door. You know, what a terrible thing if God closes the door on a man or a woman's life. Maybe when they've had an opportunity for years, when they've had an opportunity and they've heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has spoke to them, and maybe the Spirit has strived with them and showed them their need of salvation, and they keep turning it down and keep turning it down. And then maybe one day they'll go to a meeting, and they can sit through that meeting with absolutely no conviction on them. And God's Spirit has left them. Do you know what that is? That's that God has closed the door there and then. And you know, you might think, oh, there's always grace. And there is, in a sense, always grace. But when that Spirit leaves a man or a woman, what is in a man to seek God if that Spirit's not there? You know, it's a very, very, you know, an awful thing if God's Spirit would leave a man or a woman where they no longer seek the Lord. And you know, there's people that have had a chance and they've turned it down, and they've ended up going to the grave not knowing the Lord as their Saviour. But here, Noah, God closed the door. And for 7 days they sat in there and not a drop of rain. Maybe there was a lot of fun and a lot of making fun outside that ark. But you know, that seventh day, what happened? It says the fountains of the deep opened. You know, and it wasn't nothing like it, just a wee tiny mizzle, and then it was a heavy rain and a heavier rain, and the rain just come and never stopped for 40 days. Now, I believe people were terrified, because why? It says the fountains of the deep, they broke open and the water come out of them. Can you imagine the water starting to pour from the fountains from that earth? Millions of gallons of water pumping up onto the ground. And not only that, imagine the thunder, lightning, maybe a strong wind, maybe that rain pelting down, hitting you in the face. You know, it was too late then. But God saved Noah and his family. And it says in verse 7, and the last part of verse 23, it says, Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God saved Noah. Why? Because Noah depended upon the Lord. Didn't depend on himself or anything else. He depended on the Lord. We have another example of Moses in Exodus chapter 11. And we all know the story of Moses and how God called him. He was a goodly child, and how God saved him and put him in that, his mother put him in that basket and made a bulrushes and sent him down the Nile. And how he was plucked out of that Nile by Pharaoh's daughter. And you might say, God brought him right in under the nose of the enemy. And his enemy actually nourished him, provided for him, and done everything. His every need was supplied by his own enemy, and his word and the ways of an Egyptian. But you know, it come a time in Noah's life where he refused, or Moses' life, excuse me, where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he realized who he was. He was a Hebrew child. He realized the Hebrews were his own people. You know, how did he know? Because I believe his mother taught him from an early age. Because God, in his foreknowledge and his grace, had his own mother raise him as a wet nurse. And his mother raised him as a child for the Pharaoh's daughter. And he knew who he was. He knew he was a child of the Hebrew children. And at one stage, God met him. And God told him that he would deliver Israel. He would deliver him from the hand of Pharaoh. And Noah, maybe like all of us, maybe thought he couldn't do this. Or how would I do it? I can't speak. God, he says, Aaron will be your mouthpiece. You'll tell the words. You'll be like God, and Aaron will be like that prophet to the people. And Aaron will speak for you. And then he went in, and finally, you know, it took a bit of doing, but he went into Pharaoh. He told him to let my people go, and that they would go out and they would worship in the mountain. Pharaoh didn't want him to go. And you know about all them plagues that brought upon Egypt. And still, all it done was harden Pharaoh's heart. And you know, it was for a reason, because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So that when the people, the Hebrew children, would leave Egypt, when they left, that Egypt would be destroyed. The spoiled Egypt. Because when all them plagues had finished, bar the last one, the crops were gone. What was left, what the wind and the sun didn't beat down, what the locusts ate. You know, there was nothing left. There was going to be a famine in the land, basically. And then when you think about the water supply had been corrupted with when the waters were turned to blood and the fish were dead. And then what happened? Later on in the story you'll read where God told them to borrow off their neighbour. And they borrowed, God gave them favour, and the Egyptians, they lent them all their gold and their silver and their necklaces. And what happened when they went out? They actually spoiled Egypt. They spoiled them. It was as if an enemy had come in and robbed them and took everything from them. And you know what they'd done? The people of Hebrew, the Hebrew children, had done nothing. God had done it all. And why was it? Because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. But if you can read in Exodus chapter 11, in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence, when he shall let you go. And listen to this, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He'll be glad to get rid of you by the time this last plague's over. He'll be glad, he'll throw you out. Basically he's saying he'll throw you out of Egypt when this last one's over. And then verse 5 it says, or in verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. So it's not even just the people, it's the beasts. And you imagine the beasts have already died in these plagues, and then the firstborn of whatever's left's going to die on top of that. But what is it saying here? It says, even from those, from Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, and even the maidservant. God was no respecter of persons here. all the firstborn. What does the Bible say in, is it Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It doesn't matter how smart or how good you are, or how poor, or you know how humble you might be. You're born in sin and you're shaped in iniquity. And says all have sinned and shall come short of the glory of God. But, you know, here's the thing about it. There was a way for these people to escape. And, you know, I believe there was a people that weren't Hebrew children that must have applied the blood. Because you'll read later on, it says, where a mixed multitude had went out of Egypt. You know, there was a mixed multitude. And when they talk about a mixed multitude, you know, there had to be some Gentiles had went out. There were friends of Israel. That's who they were. There was the children of Israel had been commanded. And how were they going to escape it? In verse 7 it says, in chapter 12 and verse 3 it says, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour take unto the house, his neighbour next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and make your count for the lamb, and your lamb shall be without blemish. Isn't it, does that remind you of the Lamb of God? You know, in John chapter 1, verse 29, says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We think of the Lord Jesus to talk about the Lamb of God. He was without blemish. Here in the Old Testament, it took a lamb without blemish. You know, we can read there, even when John, as I've mentioned, when he spoke, behold the Lamb of God. You know, when we think maybe going offline, but it was, when John spoke that, there was a couple of disciples that followed John. And John was a prophet. The Bible tells you he was a prophet. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And there was a couple of disciples. And when they heard him saying that, and they seen Jesus, you know what they had done? They didn't stick with John and worship John as a prophet. They left John and they went to Jesus. And one of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And many people believe the other one was John, because when John records it in the Bible, he doesn't really mention his own name, but it says it on another disciple. You know, them men, when they heard the word of a prophet, they didn't worship that prophet. They listened to it, and they, you know what they done? They depended upon it, and they followed Jesus. And then, what did Andrew do, one of those disciples? He went and he got his brother Simon Peter, and he says, come, we've found him of all, who's spoken of in the word of God. And then Philip, it says later on, went to, and he says to Nathanael, come and see him that is spoken of. Is not this the Messiah? And he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then Jesus was able to tell him how he saw him under the sycamore tree. You know, these were men that depended upon the word of God. And but we get back to this now. Here's Moses, and God has given him the remedy for death here. Because death was coming, and here was the solution. Here was the remedy. And it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you'll keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Israel. No, there was the blood. The blood is a token to you. You know, there was what happened. That death angel went through that land of Egypt that night. That death angel went through, and when he seen the blood, what happened? He passed over. When the death angel goes through our land today and he sees the blood, he can't touch you, because the blood has been applied. And if you die in the natural here, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for that this morning. And I just want to move on quickly, for the time's really going. But our original thing says, our original reading is John chapter 6. And Peter says, To whom shall we go? You know, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? But my thought is, well, what's people depending on today? Well, you know what a lot of people's depending on? A lot of people's depending on that there is no God. You can see a lot of things if anybody's on Facebook, and you'll see a lot of stuff, and maybe somebody will put something on, a lot of politics, and then about what somebody believes or something. And then somebody will come out with, well, sure, he believes about some big fairy in the sky. You know what? That's God they're talking about. That they're trying to put God down as if he's nothing. You know, and you imagine if that person died and they stood before God, how would they feel? You know, what could they say when they come out something like that? Because I remember years ago, them wee chick publications that used to be out, and there was one of the famous ones where the man died and he went before the judgment of that great white throne judgment. And you know, even as a child, I remember that really struck me, and I remember thinking when I read it, there's a man, and in the wee publication that week, it's like a wee comic strip, and it showed him standing there, and it showed a part of his life where he was talking to some other group of friends and where he was telling a dirty story or something. And in that wee book, he's like, no, please God, no, don't, not that. And you've seen him with his hands over his head, and he's like, no, not that. But you know, imagine all the thousands of people in our day that have said something about God, said he doesn't exist, that they're depending that there is no God. But there is a God, because you know, in our Bible, in the Psalms, it says in Psalms 14, on Psalm 53, and they're both very similar, they're both basically the same psalm. The first line of it says, the fool hath said in their heart there is no God. And that's what it is this morning. The fool hath said there is no God. Because we know that there is a God. What is something else they're depending on? They're depending on evolution. They're depending that God was never a creator. That because they don't believe in a God, they don't believe in creation. They're dependent on evolution. But the very first verse in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. God created it. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God made the earth. He made everything in it. There's no such thing as evolution this morning. You know, like evolution has just took as it is truth this morning. But when you really dig into it deep, there's nothing. There's nothing in it. If you ask somebody to explain it to you, they couldn't explain it. They might say, oh, something evolved from this to this to this. But when you ask them, where's the evidence for it, there's nothing. There's no evidence. And like anybody here knows that for to get something newborn, there has to be a male and a female of the same. So even what's the chances of two things evolving at the exact same rate to get that? You know, it's like I said one time, they still can't answer that question. It was an old joke. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And evolutionists can't tell you that. The him and the how word. But you know, God created a chicken. He created a hen and he created a rooster. And that's the way it was. And that's the truth this morning. What else? You know, this is one of the main ones. What else are they dependent, the world dependent on this morning? You know what it is? They're dependent that there's no such a place as hell. They don't want to believe there's a hell because they don't want to go to a hell. They want to live like the devil, as a man says. They want to do their own thing. I mean, they die, that's it, over. They don't want to even entertain the notion of a hell. And it's sad to say that even some people that call themselves Christians doubt the existence of a hell. They talk about, oh, how could a God of love, you know, send somebody to hell for eternity? But what does the Word of God say? It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, it says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell's not a place you want to go. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. That's what it was prepared for. And man, through sin, is, you know, and through rejection of the Lord, that's where he goes when he dies, if he knows not the Lord as his Saviour. Matthew 25:41, Then shall they say unto him on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What else have we? It says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, And flaming fire taketh vengeance on them that know not God. These people that end up here, they know not God. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not dependent on a gospel because they know not God. They haven't accepted it. They were dependent on their own works. Verse 9, Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? And you know the awful thing about that? It says, from the presence of the Lord. They're separated from God. You know, the believer this morning, when you die, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. You'll be in the glory of the Saviour. You'll be in heaven. All your loved ones that went on before will be there. Your friends that went on will be there. All these men, these disciples, these men of God in this Bible and women of God, they'll be there. But when you go to, if you go to hell, you're separated from God. There's nothing good there. There's only evil and destruction. Nothing, death. That's what's there, death. You know, the Word of God says, How shall they hear without a preacher? In Romans 10 and 14, and I'm going to finish on this because the time's going. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Is it not awful that in a time of trouble, it says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So they haven't even believed in the Lord. When the believer gets in a tight spot, you know what can you do? You can pray, you can call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord and he shall hear you and deliver you. But the sinner of this world, that it's not dependent on the Lord, he can't even, it says, how shall he call on him on whom he hasn't even believed? And it says, and how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? There's such a talk at the minute about open air preaching and around Bomb Ridge and so forth. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. It just ruins their day, ruins their shopping experience. They don't want to hear it. They want that all just banned and done away with. And if you want to listen preaching, go to your place of worship. But here it says, How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And it says, And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's the word of God this morning. How shall they hear without a preacher? What does Romans say? It says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our dependence this morning has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't depend on anything else. This world might depend on something else. As I said, they might depend on their own works. They might depend on somebody else's good works. They might depend on a priest giving them absolution. They might depend on going to church, being a good attender. They might be dependent on doing good works. But you know, if there's no regeneration of the spirit, if there's no regeneration of the soul, where they haven't took that step in life, where they've turned from death unto life, and they've called upon the name of the Lord, they're not saved. And then what they're dependent on is wood, hay, and stubble. But you know what? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's that this morning? Thus standing on the rock. Thus the rock that is Christ Jesus. The cornerstone that was rejected by the builder has become the head of the corner. And my prayer this morning is for maybe somebody that's listening to this. Don't depend on yourself. Ask yourself, what are you depending on this morning? And if you're not depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time that you were. Let's bow our heads as we have another word of prayer here this morning. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are depending on you this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you'll just bless us. You know every need here this morning has already been prayed. We pray for Sister Jen McNeil. We pray for Eileen Jones. And for every other prayer request that hasn't been made known. But you know it, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll answer it now because, Lord, we're depending on you. And Lord, hear and answer our prayers this morning, we ask it. Have thy way in the remainder of this service. And Lord, even as my voice is silent, and maybe this service was a bit, maybe not professional or lovely and sweet or worded or whatever, but But it's your word I believe, Lord, and your word will not return unto you void. Lord, bless this people, I pray. Provide every need here this morning, for it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. Pastor Tommy.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one, and appreciate the word this morning. And only God's the only thing we can depend on for the unsaved. And you know, us that's saved, I'm sitting thinking, us that's saved. And there's people message me every day from Pakistani, you know, we send them the Bibles, they're doing an outreach. They handed out a lot of them Bibles. And they said to me, you know, what did they pray for me? And this is what I tell people I want to pray for me. Is that I will be in the center of God's will. And I want to challenge every one of you today sitting in them cars. My father used to say to me years ago, you know, when I started preaching, there was a meeting for me to go to every night. Sometimes twice in the one night. And one night my dad said to me, he says, Tommy, he says, you know, there's been led of God and then there's been run at the devil. And he says, you have to know if you're in God's will. And sometimes the devil can have you on the run, where he'll take you everywhere. And you think, you know, I'm going to a lot of meetings, I'm in God's will. But are you? Are you in God's will? Sometimes the devil can run you right of your feet. And you'll get no time to spend personal time with God. And it's good to go to meetings, but don't forget your personal time with God. And a brother's preached on this morning, what have we need of? Every one of us has need that we spend personal time with God. Personal time with God. And there has to be personal time spent with God. And the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. And it's so true what Mark says, people can be so busy. There's many events, the sun's out today, and I'm sure there'll be people and not come to church today. Because it's too good of a day for church. But what would they do if Jesus came today? If Jesus decided, I'm coming today, what would happen? And he's coming in an hour when people don't think he's coming. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. And we need to be ready. Ready for the coming of the Lord. And let's challenge ourselves. And this is the word our brothers bought. So what are we depending on? And I know we can, it's for the unsaved, but also for us that's saved. What are we depending on? Are we really trusting the Lord? Are we doing it by works? Are we really trusting the Lord? I challenge you to trust the Lord, to spend time with the Lord, and to know you're in the will of God. Know you're in the will of God. It's like if you're wanting a new job, or you're going to pray for God's will, aren't you? Everything has to be the same. You know, I could get 100 invitations to go and preach, but I don't take them all. It mightn't be God's will. The old preachers used to be led of the Spirit of God. And we need to be led of the Spirit of God. Led of God's Spirit. And when you're led of God's Spirit, God will do something. God will do something when you're led of the Spirit of God. So I just want to leave you some challenges. That every one of us, it's for me as well as you, that we spend time with God. That we depend on the Lord. And not everything else is a broken stick. It is the Lord that we must depend upon. Praise God. God bless your brother Mark. Next Sunday morning, our brother Gary will be bringing God's word. Come along to our services. Keep coming. We don't have a hall at the minute, but we're doing the best we can. We can't go into a hall if we don't have one. But keep tuned in. Some people are not tuning in. But I'd encourage you to tune in. There's people listening from all over the world. They're tuning into the Word of God. And I'm going to say something, and I don't want any to take it the wrong way. I'm going to tell you it. I preach stuff that other preachers never preach. I'm telling you that now. They don't preach it. You'll not find nobody this evening preaching on divine healing or the Holy Ghost. They'll not preach it. It's called the fullness of the gospel, the four square gospel. And if we say we're real Pentecostals, we need the four square gospel. He's more than a savior, he's a healer as well. He's more than a healer, he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he's coming again. And I make no apologies that I'm claiming I'm a four square preacher. I'm making no apologies. I believe that. I believe in the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. And I believe we need to stir ourselves in the midst of this COVID and all this what's going on. We need to stir ourselves afresh and seek God for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And believe for Jesus to save and heal. How many healing services is there in this country? How many preachers will have a healing service? Not many. They'd be afraid to do it. There's a lot of audiences wouldn't come if you had a healing service, because their pastors don't believe in it. They only use part of the Bible. But we want to use all of the Bible, all of the book, the full book. Jesus Christ's ministry was 85% healing. We need to be depending on God for our healing, for our salvation, and for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yous that came in recently, you need to seek God for baptism. Saved's not enough. Yes, you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise God, we're glad. But you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The baptism, the fire of God. And I tell you, God never sends a man to preach until he gives him the Holy Ghost. He's out God's will if he hasn't got it. He's not in God's will. I know that's strong, but that's the book of Acts. That's the Bible. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Jesus' own words. Until ye be endued with the Holy Ghost and power. Then they went out. When they met the lame man, they didn't say, "We'll visit you down to the doctor's surgery." They didn't say, "We'll get you a vaccine." They said, "Silver and gold have we none. Such as we've got, we're giving you. Jesus Christ." And they prayed for him and God healed him. We need to get back to the full gospel, I'm telling you. Pray to be in God's will. God's will. We need to be in God's will. I want to encourage you to be in God's will. But you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Wigglesworth in the morning spent an hour praying in tongues. You never hear nobody today praying in tongues. Tongues is almost a bad word, but I believe in tongues. I'm telling you. There's real tongues. There's real tongues and they're effective. Wigglesworth got up in the morning, he'd spend an hour praying in tongues till the power of God come on him. We need that power of God. And I didn't plan on saying anything, but it's so true. When our brothers preached, what are we depending on? We need God. More of God. More of the Spirit of God. More of the move of God. Where God's going to come down and move and the sick will be healed. If somebody's dying, what do they need? They need a physician. They need a physician. Jesus Christ is a great physician. He's a great physician. And we don't just need to bring people for salvation, we need to bring them to the physician for healing as well.
believe that. We need a check. We need a check out. We need to do what an old woman used to say to me years ago. Have you round the foundation lately? What's your foundation? Our foundation should be the book of Acts. That should be our foundation. When you go round the book of Acts, I tell you, brother, sister, they had the power of God. They believed in the Holy Ghost. God demonstrated amongst them his power. He demonstrated it. God bless you. Tune in again this evening, 4:30. I'm going to preach with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm going to preach about, Brother Tom. Why? Because people need it. They need the Holy Ghost. You can't go in the rapture without the Holy Ghost. You know that. You'll be left behind. You need the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. We need to know what we're depending on. God bless every one of you. Don't forget 4:30. Tune in if you can. And even if you're out, tune in. Tune in your car, wherever you are. Tune in and hear the word of God. Tell others to tune in. You shouldn't be ashamed that we're Pentecostal. You should be rejoicing in it. Some people's ashamed of some religion, you know. And there's other religion they're not ashamed of. But I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. And I'm certainly not ashamed of Jesus. He's delivered me. He's filled me. He's saved me. And I want to be in His will. In His will. I heard yesterday, I said to a man yesterday, you know, I said I haven't got much. And he says, will I tell you something, Tom? There's a wee woman and she was dying. And somebody said to her, what have you got? She said, I've got everything I need. I've got Jesus. And that's all I need. That's all I need. God bless you. 4:30, tune in. And next Sunday morning, Brother Guy will be preaching. Continuing Wednesday night, 7:30. I'm trying, if we can have somewhere we can meet, maybe the Wednesday night for a prayer meeting. But all these rules and restrictions, you know, the devil doesn't want that. Sure he doesn't. You know, we should have an open air prayer meeting some night out here. That's what we should do. You wouldn't know what I'd do, you know. You need to watch, because I could do anything at all. For they that's led as spirits like the wind. You don't know where they are. You don't know when they're coming or whether they come or whether they go. God bless you all. God bless you. God bless Brother Mark.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, on my way out with the wife's hymn book, I have a hymn book in here. And I took the one out of the car. But we're going to turn to 737 in the Redemption Hymn Book to say a closing hymn. And I just spoke to Tommy there next Sunday. My wife will be working next Sunday and one of the kids myself. So, Brother Tommy's going to preach next Sunday morning. Pardon? Next Sunday morning, it'll be our pastor Tommy preaching, and then the following Sunday morning, it'll be myself. So, this Sunday, next Sunday, coming, Pastor Tommy, and we'll continue on more, praise God. Then the following Sunday, it'll be myself. So, we're going to sing off 737. But a couple of wee things come to mind just as Tommy was saying a few things there. He said, but people will find somewhere else to go. There's a song. It says that it's called Excuses. And it says, in the summer it's too hot. In the winter it's too cold. In the springtime when the weather's just right, they'll find somewhere else to go. It's up to the mountain or down to the beach or visit some old friend. Or maybe we'll just stay at home and visit some old friend. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them all the time. And the devil, he'll supply them. Praise God. It says, the little chorus says, Excuses, you hear them all the time, and the devil, he'll supply them. I forget the next bit, but when the people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses, so to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Not true. And then I was thinking of, through what our pastor says, you know, we ought not to be ashamed of what we are. The hymn writer wrote this and said, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. Maintain the honour of his word, the glory of the cross. And that's everything, praise God. We don't want to be afraid to be Pentecostals or ashamed to be, because Jesus was a Pentecostal Jesus. I remember what one brother said. He said, we don't want a tongue-speaking Jesus or a Pentecostal Jesus. He says, well, if you don't want that type of Jesus, you'll have no Jesus. Jesus died on the cross speaking tongues. Isn't that right? Jesus spoke in tongues, praise God. Amen. We're going to sing this, number 737, and then we'll let you go. He healeth me, O blessed truth. His mighty word renews my youth. By his own power from sickness free, my precious Saviour healeth me. He healeth me. We leave, and the Lord bless. Don't forget to tune in this evening. Amen. Lord bless you. This Holy Ghost power.